All right, we're going to do a little different because of time this morning. We will be reviewing a little bit on the story of the birth of Christ, and we're just going to kind of pick a few verses out of maybe Matthew chapter 1 and maybe Luke chapter 2, and just talk about it a little bit. You know, one of the crucial things concerning the birth of Christ is it had to be a virgin birth. And the liberals and the scoffers still make a lot against that, but it was so very necessary. The promise of God made all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 when the fall took place, when Adam and Eve got in trouble in the garden, and the serpent was able to beguile Eve, and Adam followed along. You know the story. When the Lord showed up, he made him a promise of a redeemer. And he, speaking to the serpent, told the serpent that there would be a seed of a woman coming. And that seed of the woman would bruise his head. You see, Satan used a woman to bring in sin, to bring in the fall, when he used Mother Eve. And interesting thing is the Lord said that seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And of course, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as he came, as he was virgin born. And we condensed it just a little bit this morning, but say to you, if there's no virgin birth, there'd be no reason to celebrate Christmas. There'd be no reason to get excited about Jesus if he wasn't the very Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh. I will not turn to it, but I believe Jesus, speaking through the writer of the book of Hebrews, throws a little light on the thing that God had to prepare him a body. And Jesus said he came in the volume of the book. And you'll read over there where the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament could not suffice. Hebrews tells us they had to be repeated every year. They could not do it once and for all. But when Jesus showed up, he was the once and for all sacrifice, and never to be offered again. And a lot of folks today that want to teach you and get saved, lose it, get saved again, lose it. Oh, no. The truth is Jesus paid for it once, paid for it all. And the truth of the matter is he does not then stand as a high priest continually being offered. Today there'll be a lot of church buildings will be filled with people taking what they call the sacraments. They're not sacraments. They are the Lord's Suppers we'll observe tonight. But you cannot keep offering Jesus every week. You cannot pretend that. It's one sacrifice for all. And we need to understand that he paid it all to him we owe. Looking in Luke chapter 2, I want to speak just a little bit, as time allows, on the subject here. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now, notice he says in the sixth month, he's talking about the sixth month of a pregnancy of John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist was the forerunner. I need to understand that. So Elizabeth had about a 5 or 6 month head start on the pregnancy of Mary. Gabriel was a busy angel. He announced the birth of John the Baptist. He announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in verse 27 of Luke 1, says he came, telling us he came to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now it calls her a virgin. Now, the skeptics today and the new versions of the Bible like to change the word virgin to a young maiden or a young woman. Now, that'll not work. If you go back to the prophecy given in the book of Isaiah, most of you would be familiar with that, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a sign is promised. And it says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Most of you know Emmanuel means God with us. Brother Dixon was just singing about that a while ago. Now, you can play around with the so-called original language, Hebrew and Greek, if you want to. But the truth of the matter is, you have the word virgin, and if you're going to be honest with the translating of the word into English, it's going to say virgin. How many of you ever heard of somebody speaking of the college or university where they graduated out? They'll say, my old alma mater. Anybody ever hear that? Well, you know what they're really saying in Latin? They're saying my virgin mother. Alma, for virgin. And so you have here this word translated virgin like it ought to be, not young woman. You see, it wouldn't be a sign at all if a young woman gave birth. That's happening all the time. Just go down to the hospital and count them. All the time, married or unmarried, in this day and time we live in. But the truth of the matter is that's not a sign. It's not a good sign in some cases. But a sign is when a virgin would conceive without a husband, without a man. And so that's the miracle of the virgin birth. Now, I know they'll try to say, well, in the context of Isaiah 7, but wait a minute, God writes in his Bible, he writes for the local scene, he writes for the future. And here was a future application. Now, say, how do you know that was it? Because when I get over to the book of Matthew, and if you turn there, first book in the New Testament, go over to Matthew, and pick it up in chapter 1. And of course, you have the genealogy given here and so forth. We have the story of read so much at Christmas and all that. But the verse here picks up on Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So go down to verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, wonderful truth here is that the New Testament, Holy Spirit picks up on what was predicted, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, and says it's being fulfilled here now in the birth of Christ. Again, you can get new versions of the Bible. For instance, the RSV will change Luke 1:34 from I know not a man. That's what Mary said. Said, how can this be? I know not a man. He changes it to the new version, RSV changes it to I have no husband. There's a big difference. There's a lot of young women that have babies without having a husband. So when you change it, you change the truth. You make an attack on the truth of the virgin birth of Christ. Now, coming back to Luke chapter 1, and just kind of jump around with me because I don't have time to go in it much deeper. But the angel shows up here now to a virgin by the name of Mary, and she and Joseph, and it says it's important here. You notice in the parentheses, I believe I'm looking at it right here, that Joseph was of the house of David. Because you see, that's going to be important now when the decree goes out for everybody to be taxed. It's an interesting thing that the bureaucracy was even involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have to give the IRS some credit here. Amen. We'll give them credit for the fact that these records still exist of this taxing that was ordered. It said the whole world, but it's the whole Roman world that's under the rule of Rome. And so the records are there. The taxing took place. If you look over in chapter 2 of Luke, says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that's Roman now, that all the world should be taxed, and that's the world he ruled over. And this taxing was first. Now, look at the little word first. It happened more than once. That's why it says first. You can find another reference. I won't turn to it, but you can turn to later on if you want to check it out. If you turn to Acts chapter 5, you'll probably find the second taxing. But here in Luke chapter 2, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, why would that be in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible because you can check the records. If you want to go back and dig through Romans records, you will find out this thing took place. Now, I won't get into it, but that tells us at least the seasonal time of the birth of Christ. We don't believe that December the 25th was the exact date of the birth of Christ. It could have been fairly close. Most students believe it was earlier than that. It don't matter. It don't really matter. He was born. That's the thing that matters. Amen? So we don't have to have the exact date on it. But the truth is, there's a record of this taxing time that that took place. Now notice what it says in verse 3 of Luke chapter 2. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. Very much like today, they had to get in their district, right? They had to be where they could be accounted for, where the census could be accounted for. And so, not that much different than what goes on with all the tax and stuff that goes on today. I suspect, don't you, that it was just as hated then as it is now. I imagine folks were griping just as much. And yet, the truth is, in a time like this, the Lord was about to do something big, and a lot of folks probably didn't even know about it. Hadn't paid any attention, a lot like we would look around and see today. But again, we notice in Luke chapter 2, Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David. Now, you know the city of David is Bethlehem. And interesting, the bread of life was born in the city that's named for the bread. And Bethlehem. Now, here's an interesting thing. I made this trip from about the same trip here that Joseph and Mary made, from up around the city of Nazareth down. Well, you first go up. It says here in the scripture, you go up. You go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's on Mount Zion. Jerusalem sits on a high hill. But then when you leave Jerusalem, you start going down toward Bethlehem. It's not that far from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But when you take the journey they made, we made it by an old smelly diesel bus. They made it with an old smelly donkey. Amen? And a very, very pregnant wife riding on a donkey. So it was quite a journey. But why did they do it? The government ordered them to do it. They had to do it. They had to get back. You say, how much money did Joseph have? We don't know, but the government wanted it anyway. They tax lemonade stands today. Have you noticed that? Anyway, that kind of silliness. But anyway, they had to get back here to the right district because of the tax. And inadvertently, God has given us a testimony because the records can be checked concerning the time that the taxing went out. So they went back to their own city, and it says in verse 4, in the parentheses, if you notice in verse 4, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and it says being great with child. Now, ladies, understand that. There's a difference in being 2 months pregnant and 8 months pregnant. And yet, there she was making the hard journey and making it on on the donkey. And so it says, as it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. By the way, firstborn, Mary did have other children later, according to the word of God, in about three places. And for somebody to add to the word of God and say, well, it really wasn't that, it was just cousins. No, they were called brothers and sisters of Jesus. Yes, Jesus was virgin born. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had a marriage and produced other kids. And you have a record of it in the Bible. If you go by the Bible, it messes up a lot of tradition and a lot of false doctrine. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and you've heard enough about that. Laid him in a manger. Now, interesting, Brother Osteen spoke the other night on no room for him in the inn, and I fear today the inn's a type of a lot of folks' heart. But in a manger. Now, most of us understand the manger was a feed trough. But us farm boys know that if you had it clean and you put some straw in it, it wouldn't be too bad for a baby, really. Now, can't prove this. You go over there today to Bethlehem. Of course, today it's under Arab control or under control now of the Palestinians, so-called. And it's an amazing thing, the big affair they make over there in Bethlehem now with the Palestinians to get the tourist dollar, and yet they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But they'll put on a little show for you to get your money. But Islam certainly teaches he was not the Son of God, that he was not crucified, that he didn't rise from the dead, and all of that. But anyway, here he's placed in a manger. Now, there's some good research on it. It didn't look like then, when he was born, like it does today. Today, they've got the church built over supposedly the spot. And you go down deep in the building, and I have done that, and look down there in the bottom where they think he was born. They've got it overlaid with gold and all that business. Certainly not what it looked like when Jesus was born. And there's no real proof that's the exact spot. In fact, there is considerable evidence that might make you think something else, and that is a little bit away from the church is built. You can look out across the land still today, and you can see the pastures where the sheep would still graze today, looking off from Bethlehem there. And if you do that, you can just imagine the shepherds being out there with their flocks at night, just like the Bible says. And when they begin to bring them in, they came into what we would call a hillside. I don't know, a little bit of a cliff there, and of course trails up it. But one of the interesting things is that in that hillside there were caves, good sized caves, and they're still there. And the shepherds would have sheep giving birth, of course, to the lambs. And so in some of those caves, and some of them had little fronts of what we would call a little canopy or something built around the front mouths of the caves. And then back in the caves would be the livestock, we'd call it. And they would have the hay. But in several of those caves was what they used for the birthing stalls of the sheep giving birth to the lambs. Now, get them out of the pasture, out of the weather, so to speak, and bring the sheep that we're expecting in there and take care of them and help them bring the lambs forth. Now, it is strongly evidenced that that may have been the place that the Lord Jesus had to settle for when there was no room in the inn. They had to go down and find a place out of the weather. And if Jesus was born in that place, laid in a manger, isn't it an interesting thing that the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was born in the birthing place where the lambs were? You see, when Jesus came, he come and descended down, not just to the palace, but all the way down to the common man, all the way down to you and I. And with that picture in mind, I think that could be accurate. You can't prove it, but it just sort of like the Lord to do that. See, the shepherds were not, they were not the socially high class. Do you understand that? I mean, they were the working men out there taking care of the and producing what was necessary for life in that economy, but they were not respected like the elite of the palace. But Jesus wasn't born in the palace. He was born down where you and I can relate to him. And the Bible tells us, of course, that he came to seek and save that was lost. He came to where you and I were. Now let me say this. I come back to the skepticism that they have concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and being virgin born. And you read the letters to the editors of the newspapers and you see skepticism showing up. Somebody wrote a letter to the Ledger this past week saying, if Jesus Christ ever lived at all, you know. And that we Christians were stealing what we call Christmas from the pagans who a long time before Christ was born was worshiping the winter solstice, which occurs at this time of year. Well, they're right. The pagans did that for years. That's got nothing to do. God sent the real Savior, and not some pagan Druid business that the devil had installed for a long time ago. And I understand a lot of Christmas has paganism in it. We understand the Christmas tree is not in the Bible in the sense God's Christmas tree was a cross. There's a big difference. We understand some of the paganism, Santa Claus and all the rest of it. But at the same time, I'm thankful that the whole world recognizes Christmas, and the crowd that's trying to take Christ out of Christmas, and it's increasing. That attack is increasing every year. They don't want the name Christ mentioned anywhere. But the Bible tells me the day is going to come. They're going to stand before him, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Somebody might ask, if an unwed mother would say her son was virgin born without a father, would you believe it? My answer is this: yes, if that birth in exact detail was foretold 1,000 years before it took place. I'd say yes again if the angels appeared and announced it and a star came and stood over the birthplace. I'd say yes if when the child was grown up, he had power over the winds and waves and over disease and death. I'd say yes, I'd believe it if when he was put to death, he arose victoriously over the grave on the exact day he promised. Yes, I'd say I believed it if when he went back to heaven, his disciples increased by millions and held their lives not dear unto death. I'd believe it. Yes, I'd believe it if through belief in his name, drunkards were made good daddies and good husbands, and harlots became wonderful women and mothers, and all kind of sinners became saints. Yeah, then I'd believe it. Somebody said, I'll start me a religion. I'll start one that will rival Christianity. Another man said, well, that won't be hard to do. Said, all you have to do is arrange for yourself to have a virgin birth. He said that wouldn't be too hard to do if you just find the power to heal the sick and raise the dead. Said you could start a religion revival would rival Christianity if you let yourself be crucified, but then you took your life up again. You see, it would be a pretty hard thing to do, wouldn't it? The truth is, God was in the virgin birth, and God brought forth his Son to be our Savior. Wonderful truth, wonderful truth. Let's don't lose sight of it this time of year with all the glitter and glamour and all the fixings that we get into. Let's keep our eye on Jesus. Amen.